Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's always fun when after the first service the director of music and liturgy comes and puts his friendly arm around you and he says, "By the way, there's an 18-minute cantata following your sermon." Now, what do you think he meant by that? I had an extra five. Yeah, look at that. Yeah. Go away. All right. This is, a really powerful text, and one that is, we don't always really get that deeply into. This idea that God is revealing something new. Jesus' parents are going to present him to do this ceremony so that they can be following the law. It's something that you just did. You went and you dedicated the firstborn male to God with an offering. And by doing some research about this, I found that in very ancient times, in some cultures, the first son was sacrificed to God so that all the rest of the children who came after would be preserved and prosperous. Kind of a bummer for my oldest brother, Lowell, but it meant that I got to live. Well, of course, there came a development over time that, in fact, you no longer sacrificed the first child or the first son, but instead you sacrificed an animal in their place. And so Jesus' parents have traveled to the temple to do what is required under the law. It's a little like paying your taxes. You go in, you do it, you have to do it, it's all fine. And imagine as they walked into the temple, Simeon sees this child, and suddenly this simple act of fulfilling the law becomes something really much more. There they are, and Simeon sees the child, and he says, he's this righteous and devout man, he says, "Master, now," sorry, I have to make it bigger. "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace. I can finally die in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people. A light, a revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel." We were just here to fulfill the law. And all of a sudden, it's light. I began to think then, what is this light? And so, because I have to cut my sermon almost in half, just remember everything I said during the children's sermon. I won't repeat it. Should work out fine. This light reveals something about what God is up to. Clearly, in this child, for Simeon, God is up to something new. And I think God is also up to something then, and the light is revealing something different to us as well. First of all, that God is present. How was God present for the people of Israel through the Exodus, according to Scripture? It's okay, this is not... Okay, pretend you're Presbyterian. Baptist? Talk back. Pillar of fire and smoke or clouds. And where did God sort of hang out in the evenings when God wasn't being fire and cloud? In the tabernacle, in the tent. How often did God come and stand before the people and hang out with them and have a beer? Never, right? To see God face to face meant death, right? You were going to be dead. Remember that wonderful thing when Charlton Heston, Moses stood before the bush, you know? Yeah, it meant death. And yet something new is happening in this light. God is present in a different way. Not just in spirit, in cloud and fire, but in real flesh. Luther spoke about this new enfleshment of God. This is God in diapers. God squeals and complains, and you can pinch him and touch him, and then later he will laugh and he will weep at the death of his friend Lazarus. He will touch people. One of my favorite things about this new light, this new revelation of God's presence, is that God spits. Remember? When he heals the blind man. I mean, you can boast. People can say, hey, our God is bigger than your God, and you can just say, yes, but our God spits. God is fleshed and eats with the disciples. Simeon says that this enfleshed God will even help us understand things and say things from the inside and bring them out in a new way. And this God also isn't temporary, not kind of a visitor in our home, but God is Emmanuel with us forever. So much so that Jesus will proclaim, you are my body. God endures even in you. A new light revealing something that maybe we hadn't seen before. And secondly, we now have this new word. So this light is revealed again as God's word. Suddenly God has something more to say than can be encapsulated in 10 short commandments. I've shared with you before that one of the longest enduring arguments I had with my father-in-law, a pastor of 50 years, was whether or not God was continuing to speak today. Now, in a slightly unfair way, I think, you know, for a long time, I think Ellen sort of understood, or at least that's what he shared with me, that God had spoken everything in that book and was done. Nothing more to say. But Luther and other theologians have spoken of God's word as a living word, a living address, that in fact God is still speaking. Suddenly, the old dead words, as wonderful and powerful as they are and were, are reinterpreted. One of the things I love about hanging around with younger pastors and younger theologians is that I am hearing them talk about Scripture and God and the world in ways that I could not even imagine. Kids say the darndest things. I mean, they're wrong, but I mean, I'm just kidding. I'm astonished at the questions that new generations begin to ask and the light that they shed on this powerful word of Jesus. Jesus says crazy things like, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind. That's a wonderful thing. He wasn't original. And then he adds on, and your neighbor as yourself. New light. It's not enough just to follow the law and do the rules. You have to live something else. It's living word. And what's so powerful is that now we get to try and figure out what that word and what those words mean for us now. It's not just what old Fred Denker had to say way back when in the 60s and 70s. It's what these new and powerful people like Brian McLaren and Angela Freeman have to say about the word. She's still wrong. Lastly, I think that light is revealing something about God's love. It's a new kind of epiphany. And I think it looks different for me, anyway, than it used to. The gospel lesson that we heard today comes from the Gospel of Luke. And Luke, in another part of Luke that we just finished in our Bible study, Jesus says, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And Jesus fulfills that law in a way that no one expects. Jesus doesn't say, I did not come to destroy the law, but I came to enforce it. That's not what he says, but to fulfill it. And he fulfills it in love. Who expected that? Who expected that God would fulfill the law on the cross? That God would fulfill the law by calling each one of you into love for one another and your neighbor? Who knew? And you see, it gets lived out then, that love, that newly revealed light, in God's grace and in God's community. This is what Simeon is so amazed at. That this new light and this new thing that happens, that God is bringing into the world, happens in the person of a baby. And like our cantata says, you know, Simeon says, it's enough for me. I can die finally in peace. I have seen God's word fulfilled. A light to reveal to the Gentiles and for the glory of the people of Israel. And so God reveals that light for you. Amen.